Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember. Yeah.
You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know.
I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Wow.
Hello and welcome to the Abroad Japan podcast, probably the best way of learning about life in Japan without actually being in Japan. I'm your host, Chris Braun, and we're joined, as always, by the man, the myth, the legend. He's back from his holiday around the world. It's the one, the only, Pete Donaldson, the fifth. How you doing, Pete? How you getting on?
Around the world. I just found the hottest part of Europe for a little cheeky early October holiday. And I'm back and I'm sunburnt.
Yeah, when Pete, I can see Pete on the screen. I thought something was wrong with his camera, but you've actually just got a formidable tan. I thought there was some sort of white balance issue.
Well, it's probably a little bit there.
You're practically red. It's like a strawberry.
I mean, they usually call me Mr. White Balance because my skin is usually so very Irish, very white. But yeah, no, I had a good time.
And not because of his white supremacy views.
That is between me and my Signal forum. Or my what are the kids go on now? Discord. That is for my Discord forum. Yeah, no, it was really good. Went to a lot of water parks. Did some parasailing, Chris. Have you ever been parasailing before?
What is parasailing? Is that the one where you have like a parachute and the boat goes along fast and you fly in the air, right?
Yes.
Yeah. I've never done it.
You have done it.
I haven't done it, but I remember I went to Okinawa once and I saw Jun from Rachel and Jun. He did it. And after he landed, he said that it was the most fun he'd ever had and he didn't stop smiling for like the whole week. So it must have been good. It must be fun, right?
Honestly, Chris, I was expecting, because I'd been to a water park, the Siam Water Park on Tenerife. Not a place I've been before, never been to Tenerife before. I'm not a big kind of beachy holiday guy. I like the cities. But and it was really good. And I went to the water park and it was very high octane. And I think I did too many extreme rides because I needed to sit down after a day of going on these big slalom rides and stuff. I was like, oh my God, I feel ill because I'm getting on a bit now. But I thought this was going to be another like absolute scary, heart in the mouth, adrenaline filled, adrenaline soaked experience. But what actually happened was we went up. And it was just the most chill experience I've like had in years. It was absolutely lovely.
Tranquil.
It was brilliant.
How high do you go?
I would recommend, I think it's about 40, 50 feet. I would recommend anybody seeing, you know, if you're ever in Okinawa again and you see some people on the old parasailing, I cannot recommend it enough. It is not scary. It is not worrying. It didn't make me S-my-P's, so to speak, but it was just the most tranquil, wonderful experience I've had in a very long time, and I want to do it again.
There must be somewhere you could do it in the UK. Like you can pop down to Brighton on the weekends, or go down the River Thames and do it.
Just do it on the estuary, mate. Out just down the road. Somebody must be doing it. It was great. So if you ever get the chance, do it. Is my only advice.
Did you manage to sort of switch off completely? Like, I know you're a busy man. You've got 458 podcasts you do every week. Were you able to sort of just switch it all off and enjoy sitting on a beach and enjoy going parasailing?
I, for the first week, barely looked at my phone, to be honest, apart
Very
from
good.
To upload to a Broad in Japan podcast with the excellent charisma bomb that is Pete. Wow, what a life that man's had in Japan. Incredible. You'll have to get him on the podcast again soon, but he's fantastic. But yeah, it was, I managed to switch off. I read four books in the end, two were... Okay, some Joe Nesbo nonsense, which I've never... I'm not a big reader. I read on holiday and that's it. Joe Nesbo, like a kind of like a Norwegian or Swedish writer, that was on the front page of the Kindle. I was like, right, I'm not going to try and be clever. I'm not going to try and get something interesting about politics or like a really weighty tome. I just want some silly nonsense. That looks like silly nonsense. And it was silly nonsense. I read two of those fuckers. And then I read the bloke who wrote Tuesdays with Maury. I read one of his books. And then I read that was abandoned in the little hotel library, a man called James Patterson. Now, you've probably never read a James.
I know of him.
Have you? Yeah. He.
Crime detective. Is stories.
Yeah. Yeah, he's not a good writer. I am no culture vulture, Chris, but I was astonished that rot was committed to paper. I'm sorry if anyone out there is a fan. Maybe English is your second language and it's easier to follow. But good God, that man is stealing a living. Good God, he is writing a lot of books. He writes about 10 a year, it seems. He's the richest writer in the world. And I was like, who's this guy? This guy's incredibly... He's one of the most famous men. He just co-wrote a book with Bill Clinton. This crime novel I read was absolute trash. There you go.
Aren't
There's
they all
me
set
review.
In Brighton or something? Aren't they all set in Brighton? Am I getting that mixed
Ooh,
up
I
with
don't
someone
know.
Else? I do know quite a few people that follow his books though and love him a lot, but I've never really got into it. Like,
maybe I just
when I
got
go on
one
holiday,
where he just had a stinker. He just had an absolute. You know,
maybe
I think
got the
sometimes
bad
we
one.
Do. Sometimes we do a podcast and I'd sort of come off the back of it. And I go, oh, I did not cover myself in glory there. But maybe James Patterson just occasionally writes a book that is a stinker. That he there's one bit where he goes, his son's been imprisoned because of drugs, right? And
right,
he's
right.
a hard-nosed, hard-boiled New York detective. And he says, it really hurt me physically and emotionally that my son was in prison. It's like, talk about those emotions then. Give me something, James. This is a nonsense. How are you getting away with this? Oh, so I might become a crime writer, I've decided.
Well, it's a bit like Dan Brown, isn't it? Like Dan Brown was one of the best-selling novels
write.
Of the 2000s.
I'm fairly certain he can write, though, can't he?
He's all right, but his sentences are very simplistic as well. It's like big man looked at the bag on the large table, and it's like very simple. And there's just a cliffhanger in every sentence. But, you know, I don't read a lot of fiction. When I go on holiday, I read like really horrible, menacing books like 100 Ways to Make $1 Million or 48 Rules of Power. I should be reading more fiction, though. I should read more fiction.
The Art of War.
James Patterson. The Art of War. Sun Tzu. Sitting on a beach. Well, I'm glad you had fun. I'm glad you let your hair down. I'm glad you got a mega tan. No more holidays.
Mega tan.
No more holidays ever again.
Mega tan. No. Sorry, everyone. I'm back.
I wish I could say I did something as good. All I did was go to some more bloody love hotels with Connor and did another wacky weekend. We went to Osaka and we went into like five or six love hotels. I don't know what is with Connor and love hotels. I'm like, let's go and, you know, feel some culture, some like old temple, some food. And I was like, oh, mate, we'll go to love hotels. So we went to see some bloody love hotels and we got turned down from two for being two guys, even though it's illegal. So I don't know what was going on there. I wish I could go back in time and approach the guy who stopped us from going up to our room. I wish I could sort of say, wait a minute. Because he said, two guys, damn it. Like, two guys, no, you can't go in. Mm. I wish I could have said something like, no, well, that's illegal. Man. You can't break the law.
Big man now on the podcast because you knew full well that it was illegal. But when you got in there, in the dirty little sordid grief hole, you were like, oh, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry, sir. You won't let me in. I watched that video on a plane, and my partner's never really watched a lot of your output, rather, I have to say. She dipped in here and there. But I downloaded that for viewing on the flight home. So we both watched you dicking about in love hotels, picking up vibrators and thinking that they're karaoke microphones.
It's a pretty long video as well. It's like 45
it's
minutes
massive.
Of that.
It's an absolute chunker.
Awful. No more wacky weekends. I had another video. A few people have sent me a video the last few days, and it's of somebody watching a car crash happen or some sort of car accident, I think in America. Mm. And while they're watching it, they're listening to the Abroad in Japan podcast. So you can hear like me. I think I sent it to you, right? You can hear like us chatting. And this person in the car's like, oh my God, what are they doing? Like while watching someone just smash into a tree. It's pretty only now do I appreciate the power and the reach of the Abroad in Japan podcast. That's what it takes. Watching random videos like that.
Shall I stick a little clip in now? Because it's our footage, so we can use it. I'll stick in a little bit of footage now. This is what it sounds like. Me and Chris in someone's car while they're witnessing a car crash.
One of Japan's biggest celebrities is Naomi Watanabe. She's a comedian.
Jesus.
She has all sorts of stuff. She's pretty funny. But she's sort of a plus-size model. And that's where the problem lies here because Sasaki...
Weird. Absolutely bizarre. Chris, this actually cut weirdly... happened to me before when I was on Absolute Radio. Somebody sent me and my colleagues a video, an amateur porn video of people getting up to some good and some no good in very graphic, glistening detail.
Oh no!
And quite hilariously, I was in the background doing a sell for the no repeat guarantee. That's good. We are the home of the no repeat guarantee. But they were very much repeating their actions until climax. But I was in the background. If you can imagine the least sexy thing that could be on your fucking radio is my voice telling you about a commercial radio station's no repeat guarantee. I mean, it's pretty hot stuff, isn't it?
The next time I go to a love hotel with Connor, we're going to put that on the background. A Pete Donaldson episode on the background to get us in the mood. Oh, God. So many things wrong with that. Let's dive in to the story of the week. We got one here from Scott from Down Under, Tasmania. Hey, Chris, Pete, Scott here from Tasmania, Australia. I thought I would share a story of the Japanese service culture that I experienced several years ago when I was on one of my annual business trips to Japan. As I normally do, I bought a Japan Rail Pass, which at the time was treated like cash, made of paper, and non-refundable if it was lost. When I was staying in Kyoto, the pass was in my trousers that I accidentally put through the wash. Oh dear. It turned into hundreds of pieces of mush. Having only just started my 2-week trip, I really needed this damn pass. Riddled with worry, I headed to Kyoto Station with my Japanese friend to see what could be done. The young service girl didn't know what to do, so she took it to her supervisor. And after half an hour, he came out and apologized. He explained that technically, as I didn't lose the pass, he didn't know what to do, and that he had to speak to his manager to find out what could be done. As it was a Sunday, his manager was not working, and he asked if it was possible to come back the next day. The next morning, I went in only to find that one of their staff members had painstakingly put it back together again, piece by piece, like an unsolvable jigsaw puzzle. They'd laminated it and restamped it, and it was good to go. I figured it's safe to share this story after many years now, as the rail passes are digital. No one else can have the same expectations. Love your work, guys. All the best, Scott from Australia. Now that is one of the most impressive Japan service quality stories I think we've ever had. Like, imagine that. Someone just sitting there all night long, sticking it back together, a pass, and then laminating it so the crazy gaijin doesn't wash it again in his trousers. What do you reckon, Pete?
Scott,
are you impressed?
I want to see this mushy rail pass. I want to see a picture. You have to tweet it in or send it in. The thing about those rail passes is that they, the amount of use you get out of them, 2-3 weeks long, they need to be more rugged. They need to be a little bit more rugged. There's a bit of plastic on there, but it's mainly just cardboard. And there's like a train ticket in there, and then it's laminated on top, basically. It's so weird that they're in that format, that weird kind of like cardboard folder that has a lot of information on there, but it really doesn't need to be like that. And I mean, he says that it's now digital. Is it now digital? Because did I use one last holiday?
I don't think it's still paper, to
be honest.
I think it is still paper, rather worryingly. Like, I think you do get a little booklet with tickets in, but maybe you get like a digital certificate as well. But no, I think it's still paper. So just don't put it in your trousers and wash them.
Don't put it in your trousers and wash it. How big are your pockets? I'm thinking big cargo pants, big cargo trousers. Oh, wonderful.
That's a nice story, though. That's a beautiful thing. Smashing. I just feel sorry for the manager. There you go. I think. We recommend the Japan Rail Pass, right? I've never got it, right? Mm. I can't get it. Mm. I think I can now. I think there's a new one that foreigners living in Japan can actually get, which is a godsend because you save a lot of money. But you've used it like every time you've come to Japan, right? You've got it every
Pretty
time without
every
fail,
time.
Right?
May have treated myself to the upper class, first class, green class version of it a couple of times as well.
No.
I think...
It wasn't green class, Pete. It was grand class. It was one level above business class.
Top of the peak rail travel. No, you see, now the grand class, you can't get any discounts from using your rail pass, can you? You have to. You just got to buy the ticket completely yourself. But I think with those kind of passes, they are very, very useful. But If you do want a seat reservation, you do have to go and get a ticket anyway. But it doesn't cost you any money. But what I like about this new kind of like, it's not really foreigner, is it? Because you're a resident, you've got a visa, you live there. You're allowed to now get yourself your own kind of like visitor's pass a little bit. It's just another thing to sort of say, look, you can get this pass, and yes, you're going to save a lot of money, but it does remind you that you are not from here. It's like just more, you're not from here. Not from here.
Rubbing it in. But now, of course, next time you come, you can drive. No more rail passes for you, right? You're going to drive around exclusively from top to bottom around the country in your new car.
It's like 2.5 hours to get from Tokyo to Osaka. How long would that take to drive, Chris?
Oh, I want to say seven hours, maybe.
Wow.
6-7 hours. I don't know how fast you drive, to be honest. I don't know what, are you a fast driver?
How fast
or
I drive?
You're taking it carefully.
No, well, I've only just replaced my paper pass for my like a little plastic card, I suppose, isn't it? And they've not sent me one yet, so I'm scared I might be banned from driving, and I don't know about it. I've had
banned
a few
already.
fraught episodes on the roads the past few weeks.
But I mean, like, you wouldn't want to do a straight shot from Tokyo to Osaka, but what you would do is like drive. From Tokyo to Mount Fuji, Mount Fuji to Takayama, then Takayama on to Kyoto. And that's the way to do it, right?
That
kind of
makes
like
sense,
journey across Japan too, but in reverse, I guess, because we did this. We went from Tokyo and did a big circle. But like, I think it'd be a lot of fun, though. I think if you drive, you can really see bits of Japan that you just would not see when you go on the train.
No.
And have a lot more fun and have adventures and crash. And get caught for speeding.
And crash. Cool,
there's some prefectures, right, where they're like, really bad at catching you out if you go like 5, 6, 7 kilometers over the speed limit. Like one of them is Akita Prefecture. Whenever I used to drive through Akita on my way back from seeing Natsuki, or if I was passing through Akita, he would always warn me, like, watch out for the police. And I was like, what are you on about, Natsuki? You're exaggerating. But you'd see them. They're literally everywhere, just waiting at the side of the road to pounce on you. The police in Akita Prefecture probably don't have a lot to do apart from look at a tree and keep bears away from the people. So I guess that's what they spend their time doing, catching people out. So some prefectures are way worse than others at catching you out. So just be careful. lest right. you get screwed. Oh. Not that it will matter anyway, because you don't live here. What's the worst no, that can happen?
Exactly.
Get a point on your imaginary license, your imaginary Japanese driver's license.
Chase me. Chase me, guys. I don't care.
That'd be police chase across Japan with Pete Donaldson. Yeah, very short-lived police chase, I imagine. Ending face down in a rice field. We've got a story this week with Princess Mako. He's been in the news a fair bit. Princess Mako is the niece of Emperor Naruhito, and she's been a lot of scandal over the years. I'm learning a lot about the royal family in Japan because you don't really hear about it that much outside Japan, really. And it's the longest running imperial family in the world. It's way longer than the British royal family, and it's seen as kind of like they're seen as the descendants of the gods of God and whatnot. But Princess Mako is the niece, and she's turned down a dowry of $1.3 million from her soon to be husband, Kei Komuro. Apparently, when a female in the royal family marries a commoner, they're basically thrown out of the royal family. They're no longer sort of a member of the royal family. And so they're given a dowry of $1 million to sort of buy them out,
off.
As it were. Yeah, effectively.
Wow.
And she's actually going to move to the United States and move to New York. I think she's already there right now. But her and her kind of fiance, her and Kei Komuro have been in sort of the news a lot over the years. He's not a popular figure. I think maybe 4 or 5 years ago, when they announced their marriage, it turned out, it transpired that Komuro-san's mother owed something like $29,000 or $30,000 to some sort of, some sort of back taxes. And this created a sort of scandal. Mm. Like, oh my God, one of the few key members of the royal family is going to marry a guy who's owes lots of money. And so it kind of ruined his image. But rather than sort of leave him and sort of abandon this marriage, she's actually carried on because it must be true love. And and she's sort of lost a lot of popularity for that and been scrutinized and had sort of PTSD from it. And it's a dark side, you know, as we've had with the royal family in the UK as well. I mean, the UK, as we know, is often scrutinized in the media.
It's a bit Meghan Markle, I suppose. Them leaving, going to the US. We're going to do TikToks and podcasts and stuff.
It is a bit. Although, unlike Meghan Markle, I imagine Princess Mako will sort of disappear off the radar completely compared to Harry and Meghan, who have gone full throttle into the public eye. But, I mean, that's pretty much the news story on that front, that Princess Mako will be leaving the royal family, that she's turned down the payment, and also that Kei Komuro, the guy she's going to marry, is also scrutinized for having a ponytail recently, because having a ponytail looks radical and naughty. And you shouldn't have a ponytail.
Naughty.
Apparently.
Very naughty.
It's very bad. But yeah, I don't know. I when I read about these royal families, both the UK and Japan, a part of me is like, is it time to just not have them? Isn't it time to just get rid of them? I'm always in two minds about it. You're not big on the royal family in the UK, are you? If I'm not mistaken.
Me personally, or kind of, I've never been a massive royalist. I think, you know, it's they're interesting as far as they go. But they obviously, because of their, I guess, the separation of church and state and the royal family and state. And you know, Prince Charles got in trouble for writing all those letters back in the day to influence politics, so-called. But they're not allowed to sort of comment on anything important, and they can't really veto anything anymore. So they're a little bit toothless and a little bit irrelevant. So they've kind of bought their own irrelevancy, really, by hanging on to the money that they've got.
I think this scandal over here with Princess Mako pales in comparison to the sort of situation with Prince Andrew and all that business going on back home. Like, this seems almost farcical in comparison.
It's going to be interesting to see how that pans out.
Yeah. I'm glad Princess Mako's able to sort of get away and still marry the guy that she loves. Like, at the heart of it all, it's kind of a romantic story about two people that just want to marry. And how difficult that can be when you're born into a member of the royal family. But I think this pales in comparison to the Prince Andrew situation, which I have just tried to give up following because it's just so depressing. But royal families, There you go. Anything to add on this, Pete?
Who'll have them? Royal family. Families, you can't pick them. Royal families, can't pick them.
It's the key takeaway. It's the key takeaway. We'll be back in a moment with the fax machine. Your questions.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember. Yeah,
you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, mate.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. And then we're way around a duck.
So if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? Mine's pretty low after coming back from the craziness of WrestleMania, too many body slams and all that. And I'm pretty jealous of my co-host Chris, who seems to have been exploring Japan's most isolated hotel. He's definitely winning in the relaxation race, but I'm determined to catch up with him. It can be easy to get swept up in social gatherings and spread ourselves too thin, but with therapy, you can learn to prioritize your time and recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online and designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/Japan today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Japan.
And we're back with the fax machine. What do we got this week in the fax machine, Mr. Dawson?
We got a message from George Caballo, or Caballo, maybe? I don't know. Either way, hello from Philadelphia, Chris and Pete. My question is about Mary Elizabeth Winstead's character in Netflix's Kate. Throughout the movie, she speaks Japanese with a distinct American accent. My Mexican and Filipino relatives are quick to mimic my American accent whenever I speak Spanish or Tagalog. Is that Tagalog? Tagalog? I don't know. I don't know Filipino either. It's Tagalog. Do your Japanese friends ever playfully mock your English accent? I would like to know what to expect when I travel to Japan because your videos have convinced me to visit someday. Best regards, George. I'm now going to say cabello because, I don't know, Mexican relative.
Have you seen the trailer for this film, Kate, on Netflix?
I haven't seen the trailer. I've seen the reviews that aren't wholly positive, but I did just watch, before we started, a video of her having a scrap in a kitchen with Miyavi, a bloke I've interviewed once.
Your favourite. You bloody love Miyavi.
My favourite.
The trailer for this film looks so... I don't like to judge a book by its cover, although I definitely do. But the trailer for this film, Kate, looks absolutely dreadful. But that's all I'll say. I haven't watched it and I don't intend to. Ryotaro definitely does mock the whole English accent a lot of the time. Whenever he sees someone who's new to Japan studying Japanese, he'll often mock the accent. He'll be like, "Watashi no namae wa Ryotaro desu." And he loves it. He fucking loves it. So he does it a lot. Yeah. He does it a lot. But I kind of want to watch the movie now just to see the character do Japanese with a distinct American accent. But
there's nothing in the trailers because I presume it's silly.
probably. But I mean, it's no easy feat to learn Japanese. I'm impressed with any actor who can pick it up in a short space of time. Like, I think, I can't remember the name of the guy who's in Tokyo Vice, this TV series coming up on HBO Max with Ken Watanabe. And he's the guy from Baby Driver. Does that ring any bells?
Oh, what, the boy? The little boy?
Yeah.
The boy, the baby driver. I don't know who that man was.
The baby driver.
He was in one film, and I've not thought about that man since that film ended, to be quite frank.
I think he's had to learn Japanese for this role, because he's coming out in this big series where he plays a detective, plays journalist Jake Adelstein, real, actual person. But, I'm always, it's a fair point to anyone who picks up Japanese for TV or film. Like, it's a massive undertaking. It takes years to master. So, fair play. We got one from James from Nottinghamshire. Shout out to, oh no, it's me. Hi, Chris and Pete. I'm emailing because, like many people who email in, I'm hoping to travel to Japan hopefully next year. I love motorbikes, and with the Japanese motorbikes of Honda, Suzuki, Yamaha, and Kawasaki being very highly respected motorbikes, I was wondering if there is much of a biking culture in Japan, as I would like to rent a bike and do some riding for a few days part of my trip. All the best, guys. James from Nottinghamshire. I mean, my good friend Yuki, who you've met, and know and love, Yuki the businessman, he always posts these amazing photos on Instagram where he's like riding his bike through the mountains or riding it down the Sea of Japan coastline. And I have to say, it does look pretty damn epic. Like, I think Japan would be an amazing place to grab a motorbike and just go off into the mountains because there are so many like sneaky, quiet, peaceful countryside roads and places to explore, particularly like Hokkaido. That'd be pretty amazing to go over. Other than that, my knowledge is limited on the biking front.
You sort of get the feeling that the roads are so good in Japan, pretty much everywhere. The infrastructure is so great that it would be a beautiful driving experience because everything's stunning, everything's amazing, and the roads are great. You're probably going to fall off. The drivers are a little bit more conscientious out there, and I know a couple of people actually who have spent a lot, who are really into the biking scene out there, and it's incredibly popular, isn't it? Remember that that guy who was pretending to be a lovely long haired lady. For the likes, for the hits, for the heat. A long time, it was about 6 months ago, we did the story on the Bronze Japan podcast where a guy, there was this really popular biking lady who was traveling the length and breadth of Japan, and she was this beautiful, like long-haired, sexy biker lady, and no one could figure out where she was from, where she'd come from, who she was, but she was just, you know, she was an internet celebrity. She had, you know, hundreds of thousands of followers on Instagram and stuff, very romantic, beautiful lady, and it turns out it was just a bloke with a face app changing the face.
Oh, yeah,
it was great.
Remember vaguely.
Remember, he was like 50. He was like in his 50s, and he was kind of cosplaying as a 25-year-old biking chick. It was brilliant.
What a lad! What was his motivation again? Do you remember? Was it he wanted to create
I don't know. I think
he
just,
wanted to
yeah,
be.
I don't know.
He wanted to know.
You know, it's like playing a video game, isn't it? Just be the person you want to be for a bit. I'm loving it. I don't think there's anything wrong with it.
I think if anything, it tells us how far bloody apps have come at morphing people's faces. Like, I remember a year ago, remember that app where everyone made their face look old? I think it was like 2 years ago now, actually. And it worked so well that I could trick people and be like, this is my dad. And it was just me on a face app. Yeah. And then it turned out it was owned by some Russian company and everyone got very scared and left the app very quickly because it looked like it was a part of the Russian government or something.
If you're that bothered, just don't use the internet ever. That's what I always think. Oh, no, they've got access to my pictures. Oh, God. It's not like you upload them to Instagram every fucking day. Jesus. Can't script that off the internet, can you? Good God.
We got one last question from John from Melbourne. I finally got round to pronouncing Melbourne correctly. I used to say Melbourne. Now I say Melbourne. I, Chris, Melbourne. And Ikemen Pete. Oh, Pete, do you know what Ikemen means? Ikemen.
Oh, Ikemen. Is it number one sexy guy?
It is, yeah. Well done. Ikemen.
Yeah, okay.
When I worked in school, girls would just say that and mutter it under their breath as they walked past me, and I was really uncomfortable and weirded out by it once I learned what it meant. My question to you guys is, if you had the opportunity to do the Journey Across Japan series in another country where you would love to explore, assuming we've cleared the other side of the pandemic, where would you go? Keep up the fantastic work, and on behalf of your listeners, a very big arigato gozaimasu. John from Melbourne, Australia. Where would you go, Pete? If you could steal the Journey Across Japan brand, where I would then sue you to a great extent. If you could steal the Journey Across Japan brand and journey across somewhere in the world in a 6 or 7 part series, which country, where would you go? Starto, go. Let us know.
Well, I mean, putting aside for a moment the fact that I know what your admin's like, and I'm almost certain you haven't trademarked that. So I don't think I'd be in any trouble, to be quite frank. I would go to the little bit of... I would like to do Kyushu again. Like, get on a motorbike, get on a car, just drive around Kyushu, going from little village to little village. It's warmer, it's pleasant, everyone's lovely, the food is excellent. Yeah, I'd just rock around there, to be honest, and do some surfing or something.
Surfing? Can you surf?
Nope. But I did buy myself a Lilo and floated
around. That's
not
surfing.
I did buy myself a Lilo, and I was like, this is basically surfing, isn't it? It's lying on a Lilo.
Oh, God. That's like, that would be like me jumping on a fucking trampoline and then claiming I'm an astronaut. Ridiculous.
Correct.
I think I would do a journey across Europe, to be honest, because in Europe, you've got all these different cultures, you've got loads of fun, you could drop, you know, you could go through France, Italy, Spain, Germany. That would be a really epic trip. And I really wanted to go around Europe this year in an alternate reality where planes and travel and things were easy. But we're still not there yet. But maybe next year. Keep the stories, questions, comments coming in to BrawnJapanPodcast@gmail.com. We'll be back in the next few days to do all over again. But for now, guys, no matter where you might be out there in the big wide world, enjoy the rest of your week, and we'll see you again in the next few days to do all over again here on the Brawn Japan Podcast. Bye for now.
Peace.
Japan is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces 3 thought-provoking questions over 3 glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember. Yeah,
you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Anna Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.